Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns. A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
I also have a big letter that Nick Chubb wrote. Well, not because you guys found the audio, so that's fantastic.
Fine, here's Nick Wright.
All right, here you
it
go.
It is worth noting that we haven't a real story. I know we are having fun with this. It is interesting. I saw it off a Cleveland radio station and a radio host. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Probably King Carmen.
Maybe.
He's the best.
Hey, all right. Some guy doesn't know who I am, but Nick does. And I'm sure he means you as well.
The other guy.
Audio courtesy of Fox Sports 1. Happy birthday, Tone, from Nick Wright and everybody at Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, the other guy, Kevin Wilds, is that who?
Yeah, he wouldn't know
that.
And
then they're with Chris Broussard.
He probably wouldn't either. But Nick is he's a firebrand on the old social media, but he's always been wonderful to us. So I'm going to get to the Nick Chubb letter here in just a moment. But I do think it should be I think they should at least consider, or at least let it be known to him that they would consider it. I don't think that he is a competitive person. And it's weird. I would not start him week one. I think come hell or high water, he has to be unnaturally good for me to ever even think, consider, whatever. It has to be something like unlike we've seen ever in a preseason, in camp, or anything like that. But I do think that that should be a possibility for him because I think that competitors want to compete. They want that opportunity. If you say absolutely not without a shadow of a doubt, that are you starting a person in real power? I could say it all I want. I don't have any power over this. But if you're a person in real power, you should not tell him, no, there's no way on earth you're starting. This is as open a QB job as you're going to find. And it's, by the way, it's not just the week one job. It's weeks 1 through 18. That's the job that's open. Now, what you get to show off, that window gets smaller and smaller and smaller as the season goes on. But this is open of a job as you're going to find. Of all the possibilities that are out there, you got four different guys, and then you have a conversation about whoever you're going to draft next year about that. It's as open a job as you're going to find over the next couple of years. This is basically a reality show for who the Browns' next starter is, and we're going to do two seasons of it. That's how it's going. I would have to tell him, hey, it's open. go out and take this job. You're the one who's downtrodden. You're the one who's been drugged through the mud by another football team has drugged your name through the mud. Pundits have drugged your name through the mud, Go ahead. Go out and win this job. It's up to you. There are challenges ahead of you, and even use us against you. We passed on you five times. Tell me more. Show us. Show us why we were lucky to have you available to us in the fifth round. Show us why we're lucky. Go and do it. And I'd say the same thing to Dillon Gabriel about the third round. As far as Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, I mean, I think it kind of is what it is with everybody. You expect them, one of them two, to come out ahead and start week one. But I think with those two rookies, yeah, go ahead. But especially with a guy like Shedeur Sanders, because somewhere there was a misconception about where he's going to be or how good he can be, but his ceiling was going to be bigger there. So, yeah, I actually, you'd think I would disagree. In reality, I don't think there's a chance in hell I would ever start in week one. There's a lot that you could do that would spike his career, but I would let him know if I actually had any real power here that, yeah, there's definitely a chance. Go out there and earn it. Show the NFL wrong,
example,
show the world wrong.
It would have to be him just looking amazing, otherworldly compared, yes, to the rest of the competition, which when you think about who the rest of the competition is, you're talking about Joe Flacco, who, despite the amazing run we went on at the end of the year 2 years ago, mm-hmm, you know, is already, well, a year and a half ago, I should say, and he, you know, you would think he's playing his last games. Every game you're thinking about, you know, the ending more than the beginning. Kenny Pickett, who, you know, if this doesn't work out here, that's probably it for Kenny Pickett's starting NFL career. Might always be able to be a backup, whatever. And then the other one was a third round pick that some people thought was drafted two rounds too soon. So if he looks great, Shedeur Sanders, like, it shouldn't be that hard to he's not going to have all the veteran savvy of a Joe Flacco, or, you know, he hasn't had the starts at this level, but it just in terms of arm talent and some instincts, the stuff, you know, the rest of the stuff can come with time.
And what Charles Robinson had written, that's absolutely true. You have to be able to pick up on the nomenclature, speaking the language of your offense, knowing what levers to pull, when to pull them within your offense, and obviously gaining the trust of your teammates. And the only thing that's going to do that is doing what basically every quarterback who's ever done anything in the NFL has went out and done. Hard work, dedication, showing them that you're serious about something like this and being able to lead and get to the front and being able to lead other people. And it's not something that just happens in a day for a fifth round guy. But I would definitely leave it open. I don't think it's any secret whatsoever about this situation. And I think he is as buried far back for week one as I could possibly do it, because I still stand, if he's not ready, if there's a shadow of a doubt and he's not ready to do it, you could spike a lot of potential right then and there in week one. Cincinnati, that is a weird situation down there. It is a desperate team in so many ways. I don't know if they're going to have Trey Hendrickson. It doesn't look like they're going to have Shamar Stewart at this juncture. It is a weird spot, but I would say that you have a chance, yes. But in reality, I don't think I would want, it would have to take so much for me to give him that chance. Nick Chubb wrote a letter to the city of Cleveland. This is probably the most I've ever seen Nick say anything in its written word. Now, you can look it up on the internet. I think we have a copy, 923thefan.com. And I could parse through it, but it is very heartfelt to the city of Cleveland and to the Browns fans. There were some that noticed that there was nothing, apparently there was nothing, because I've checked it over a million times. There's nothing really to the team, it seems here, about, he talks about his teammates, but to the organization or anything, like, he didn't, people were wondering why he didn't thank the Browns for drafting him or anything like that, which I really think, in terms of looking for things that aren't necessarily true or whatever, I think we're being a little bit too ticky-tack there. I think that Nick Chubb knows his audience. It knows who to write a heartfelt thank you to, but he writes, the city deserves a winning season every year. It's earned it. The city doesn't quit. The people never stop believing. And my brothers in that locker room will never stop fighting. Cleveland's time is now, and it's not because they are owed anything, but because resilience always wins, just like we preach every day in meetings. This isn't goodbye to what we built. It's a thank you. Maybe he means that with the organization. For the trust, the passion, and the moments that made me feel like I belonged here from day one. Cleveland, you always have a piece of my heart until we meet again. Which I thought this was a very, very, very nice thing for Nick Chubb to write. or to dictate to somebody to write or whatever, to put the feelings together, to put it out there. Because he's not a guy who's going to stand in front of a microphone and say these things. He's going to write them down because he's basically very uncomfortable in front of a microphone.
It sucks that it takes him leaving to actually get perspective from Nick Chubb for the first time. We didn't get any of this, you know, his entire career. So it sucks that it took him. Because
it was a little bit like you never really truly knew. You felt it. But I think it's because you felt it personally, like you liked him so much as a fan that you felt that it was reciprocal. This shows you that it goes both ways. I think he hit the audience that he needed to hit. When it comes to the organization, I know he didn't really mention anybody. And some people take that as like a shot at Andrew Berry or whatever. I don't care.
Or the Haslams. He didn't mention the Haslams
either. I'll tell you this. For him, should he not feel that way? You're at the end of you're perceived to be at the end of your career. You don't want to be at the end of your career. You've had something terribly unfortunate happen. You play a position that people use you like you're a dime a dozen. You're a special talent in a position that is basically a thankless job. People like you for a year and then they just move on to something else because they're really obsessed with quarterbacks, wide receivers, and cornerbacks. They don't care as much about running backs as they should, especially, you know, in today's NFL where quarterbacks now are as bad as they've been and how long, and running backs now, you see a resurgence of the position because they're needed so badly, but they're still not paid in that way where it really comes to the respect of what it is. I think for Nick, I say yes, use it as a chip on your shoulder. Like, this is going to be a conversation that we have all year long. You can't tell me that Browns fans aren't going to be sitting there either watching the Houston Texans opposite of the Cleveland Browns because of Nick Chubb, or checking the box score every Sunday, seeing what the Browns did, seeing what Quinshon Judkins did, seeing what Dylan Sampson did, not making them out to be villains. They had no choice in this matter. They were drafted. But also checking to see what Nick did, because I would say 9 out of 10 Browns fans are team Nick Chubb on this and think that Nick Chubb has something left in the tank and that the team should have brought him back. There is, I think there's a lot of people who are respectful of Nick Chubb, but they go, hey, this is a business. He's 29 years old. Even the most ardent supporter would probably have to admit his best years are behind him, and they can understand it from a football position. But I think 9 out of 10 fans are going, if we're not going to be that good this year anyway, why don't we have a guy that we all love? Why are we not giving him another chance in this running back room? So I don't blame him for not saying it. I don't know if he meant to not say anything, but if he didn't, it's like, okay, I don't blame you for that way. You have to put a chip on your shoulder as a pro athlete.
I just forever wonder what it was like having to take that huge pay cut a year ago while, you know, Deshaun's making his full money. Had never endeared himself to the city of Cleveland the way that Nick Chubb did. Mm-mm. Nick Chubb
never will either.
Basically raised here as a professional football player.
Uh-huh.
And yet it's like, here's a fraction of the money maybe you should have gotten because of the injury. And here are all these incentives, but we're not really going to give you the ball much. And you're maybe a shell of what you were anyway. So you're probably not going to get those incentives. I do wonder what, if Nick Chubb, who knows it's a business like anybody else, and we never really get his true feelings, how he felt about last year. Because last year was just such a mess all the way around.
Uh-huh.
Then he gets injured again, and you have these other guys making all this money, and none of them are Nick Chubb. None of them hold up to the fans of Cleveland and are in that realm like mm-hmm. Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb, for so many, he's like the best they've ever seen in their lifetime.
Yes.
Especially like running back. They didn't see Jim Brown. And some of them, you know, love him more than Myles Garrett, love him more than anybody else. And yet, you know, it was a business again last year. And for the team that always was so skilled at manipulating the salary cap and the organization that was playing chess while everybody else was playing checkers. And I wonder if he felt he got played a little bit.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if he did. And I think I could understand that. The NFL is a cold business. This is part of the reason why I was so adamant. We talked about Derek Carr last Friday, and I was calling him just about every name in the book you possibly could about stupidity of if this story is even true about handing back money to the organization. I think Nick Chubb is case in point about that. NFL teams, it is a business relationship, all 32 of them. And there is maybe a little bit of a difference with some of them, but it usually happens after they retire. Like, I do want to believe, and I hope it goes this way, Nick Chubb will come back in a year or two. I hope he has a nice long career still, but maybe he comes back in a year or two, retires for the day as a Cleveland Brown, And then there is a relationship in the future where, hey, you know what? All you need to do is come back in town. Let's have you back in town. You sign an autograph for an hour. You shake hands. You're part of the fan base. People love you. And you're just invited back for the years to come. That type of thing. In these moments, in these days.
There's no doubt.
I hope that there's something like that that can be mutually beneficial. But at the time it is, like, yeah, Derek Carr, quote unquote, handing back money to an organization when a guy like Nick Chubb has been better for the Browns than anything Derek Carr has provided to the New Orleans Saints, or I would even say the Oakland Raiders for that matter, or the Raiders in general for that matter. I think that that stands something where it's like, hey, if Nick feels that way, I can't blame him. Because at the bottom line, how much money did you get playing this sport if you weren't able to accomplish the greatest of greatness? If you weren't able to get to a Super Bowl, if because of the way that they vote for the Hall of Fame, if you're probably not a Hall of Famer, what is left for you when it comes to being able to change your lifestyle and your family's lifestyle? I can't blame Nick Chubb for this. 216-474-0092. And I don't think there's a Browns fan out there that does. Coming up at 8:22, Daryl Ryder, he's going to join us on the show. I want to ask him what he thought of the letter that Nick Chubb wrote to the fans out there. And all this talk in the Cavs might still have the brightest future in the entire East. It's Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, that coming up at 5 on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Keith doing? Why are you guys all against me?
Well, now I got a video up.
Don't do this!
So the world can see that Ken Carmen just doesn't think Nick Chubb has earned a jersey retirement.
Why did you do that? Why would you make that video? Why is he laughing about it?
Keith is laughing about it like a villain. Cartoon character villain. Keith just came in, our boss. Our boss is trying to make you look bad. It's great.
Come on!
Finally, we have somebody here who wants to make Ken look bad. It's great.
I told them not to make a video. Don't put that video up. I bet he left all the context out.
No, it's carefully edited.
They probably added extra context.
All right,
I retweeted it just so people could determine whether or not they thought it was a big deal.
Boy, it sucks. You know, you're Nick Chubb. You already had to take a pay cut last year. You suffer all-time debilitating injury. And the last thing you would think is that guys like Ken Carmen would have your back.
I hate you.
And then instead, he leaves town. He wishes everybody in Cleveland good luck. He wants Cleveland to win. And so how does he get that
Stop
repaid?
Stop laughing. It ain't funny. He walks by laughing more.
You know what? I bet you Nick Chubb.
Keep laughing. Keep laughing.
He's going to use this as motivation. Send this to Houston. Let him know.
Oh, you don't think they already have it? Landry Locker's down there.
Oh, to hell with him.
He's taking care of this.
Oh, now you're going to root against Nick Chubb.
No, I'm not rooting. Wow. No, I said to hell with him, meaning the people in Houston. I don't care about that. I don't care about those fans. They're not even real fans. Sick and tired of hearing about it. It's such a, oh, God. It's such a terrible, terrible sports town. I don't even want to hear it. Now I'm getting nasty. Now I'm just in my shell here. Ain't a real sports town. This is a real sports town. Congratulations to him. I hope he does well. It ain't real down there. Don't even want to hear it.
Are they in the bottom three sports towns for you?
Hell yeah.
Well, you know what that means.
Tampa and Atlanta. However else you want to take it. Yeah, there you go.
Trying to sever ties with another former coworker.
Oh, yeah, right. Go Never mind.
Fun. Go have fun working in that crappy sports
Atlanta's
town.
Fine. Take that out of there. Put Phoenix in there. Put Phoenix in there. Yeah, that Phoenix. Good God. What is your problem, you guys? How did this turn? This is the longest half hour I have left in a show in my life.
Well, get ready because we have 1992 Topps baseball cards to rip into. With Dare Ravel will be joining us live.
It's a big segment.
By the way, somebody tweeted, Rob Vaughn on Twitter. He said, well, Ken, Christian McCaffrey, he agrees with me about Chubb and his jersey getting retired. The NFL, guys, it's not about...
Don't get mad. Rob's with you.
Well, no, because he said Christian McCaffrey is going to the Hall of Fame. I'm like, I don't think Christian McCaffrey is going to make the Hall of Fame. I do think Derrick Henry is like the only guy. And I think Derrick Henry, and because Saquon Barkley won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, I think that they're going to put Saquon Barkley in the Hall of Fame. But I don't think your mic's on over there. I don't think that
McCaffrey, three-time first-team All-Pro.
I don't know.
Offensive player of the year.
Maybe, but I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think it'll be – it's not that I don't think so at all. I'm filling the space there. I'm sorry. Because I'm just so distracted by this now. It's just, this whole thing has gone off the rails here. One, when it comes to Dustin's wedding, let me say this. If he's out there, I didn't mean to upset you. I'm really sorry. I did not mean to upset you if that's the case. Now, I don't know if he's even mad. I have no idea. That's just what you guys all told me. You guys are probably already lying to me on that now.
I think there is one thing.
But if I made you mad, I really am publicly. I'm very, very sorry that I didn't answer. It wasn't intentional. Sometimes I look at my phone. I don't see it.
Man.
I didn't get back to you. I apologize. All right.
Ken's
I wish you. I wish you and your future wife. I've met her. She's very nice. I wish you two a lifetime of happiness. You seem to be very happy. You look incredible. You've played terrific tennis since. I hope you guys are very happy together. And I mean that sincerely. I don't want you to be mad at me because I am mad at you, and I feel really, really, really honestly terribly bad about that. Now, really sorry about that.
What is that?
I didn't mean to upset
Kenny,
you.
By your right hand, what is that thing over there?
That's
the mouse?
A phone.
Oh, that's the phone. Why don't you pick it up and maybe say everything you just said by dialing that phone number that you have in your phone?
What
and
are
then
you talking about?
Probably take care of this once and for all.
He still has
I'm in the
same
middle
number,
of a show.
Right?
Yeah.
The other thing
you don't
with
think
Nick
he blocked Ken's phone number.
The other thing with Nick, that's up to him.
Green bubbles or blue bubbles?
He
Ken.
Wouldn't do that. Just send a text. And
another
see.
Media member just hates my guts. They're dropping like flies. Like Martha on the Fly, which is these delicious sandwiches that Jim brought in. The other one,
you're retiring media members that like you.
The other one is fans. Fans should get what they want. If all the fans, can we wait 5 years until after he's retired? Can we just do that for a second? Do it like the Hall of Fame. Let Nick play down there. Let Nick play for the next year or 3 years or however long he's going to play. And if we still feel that way 5 years after he's done playing, fine. I go ahead and retire his jersey.
I don't think anybody said retire it today.
Well, I think that's what people online
you said
are trying
don't
to do.
Do it.
I don't say no. I said fine.
Flip-flopping.
No, I'm not. That's not what I said at 9 o'clock. go right on ahead and retire his jersey if you want to. I just know they're not because the NFL gets in the way of that sort of thing. That's why Bernie's number isn't retired. Everybody loves Bernie, too. They're not going to retire numbers like that.
Well, if Ken was doing radio,
they don't do that in the NFL.
If Ken was doing radio 30 years ago, we would have gotten the same rant. Unfortunately, it's just Nick Chubb's turn to draw the ire of Ken Carmen.
Well, he didn't draw my ire. I'm not ired with him. There's no ire.
You look very ired.
Oh, I wanted to talk about
the height of ire.
I wanted to talk about Cleveland being too successful at a certain thing to get a certain other thing, and now I can't do it because you guys have made me out to be the biggest
running back
nastiest person ever. I'm not trying to be that way. Retire his jersey, please. But I just know it's not going to happen. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news.
But you can just
the NFL
stops right
these things from happening.
You know, I just, as somebody who is an optimist in life and I see the best out of people, I think
you're the worst person ever.
I think this was an easy one. Well, just do it. It's Nick Chubb.
Someone call it a slam dunk.
Bad guy.
Think about all.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
The players that come into Cleveland don't care about putting on that uniform, don't care about the AFC North rivalries, don't care about Pittsburgh. They don't really care who the fans are, the dog pound. They don't get us. You know, they don't understand the lore of playing outside on the lakefront, old municipal to Cleveland Browns Stadium to what it is today. You know, imagine that you could signify what greatness in a Cleveland Browns jersey is all about by being able to look up and see that it's retired and the motivation that's going to be that it can happen here in Cleveland.
Please do.
And that's what Ken doesn't support here. It just surprises me.
No, I do support these things. I do. I just know that they're not going to do it.
It's unfortunate.
Oh, never mind.
We have these 1992 Topps.
I'd have to dump it.
Topps baseball cards. We're going to be unboxing them.
So
coming up in about 10 minutes.
All right. Can I say what I wanted to say about the NHL in Atlanta, or is that not going to happen?
Yes, I was hoping you'd get it in.
I forget it. What the hell? It was really good stuff.
Ken's got people on his side. Retiring Nick Chubb's jersey would be peak Cleveland. Dude accomplished nothing here.
Oh, my God. So come on.
Now they're even a rushing title.
With you, Ken.
Does Ken have a burner account? My God. How did he tweet that out while staring at me?
That's incredible.
You're going to host the show for the rest of the day. I'm not.
All right, line them up. 216-474-0092. We tell you each and every week, keep it clean. Keep it above board. We want to be able to retain our license to be able to broadcast each and every day. It is going to be, once and for all, an all-time coming in hot. Plus, Darren Revelle joins us as we rip into these 1992 Topps baseball cards. That's coming up next here on The Fan.
There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Daryl Ryder.
Just
hello,
asking.
Daryl.
Hi, D.
Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys. How are we?
We are. Do you feel like you just walked out of the last day of school before school starts back up when camp comes back? You throw away all your books and your notes and all that stuff. Is that how you feel when the mandatory mini camp is over?
Yeah, school is out for summer.
Thank you, Alice.
Is Dan Wright saying there are only three headlines that happened after today? Injury. What are they? There were injury, contract issues, and
arrests.
True or false?
That would be accurate.
We are trying
there will
to.
Be a, there will be a fourth.
And that is?
And that is when the Brook Park project becomes official.
Ah!
Okay. We were trying to think, and you sat there and watched it all. So you tell us, did we learn anything concrete about the quarterback situation? And my thought was this. We learned that Shedeur Sanders is the innocent bystander in a three-man competition to be week one starter.
Yeah, it's hard not to feel that way, right, Jeff? I mean, Shedeur did get some 11-on-11 reps to wrap up the practice, and actually he did really, really well. It was a bit of a speed-up drill, and he caught the snap and let it rip, had some really good rhythm. But, yeah, it kind of feels like they are protecting him. Maybe protect is not the right word to use there, but
bring along slowly.
Yeah, that's I think the way I should have put it. You know, they're bringing them along slowly, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I mean, it's not like the Browns are committing a great crime right now because they're not throwing him to the wolves. You know, Joe Flacco got the first 11-on-11 reps today. Course, the previous 2 days, it was Dylan Gabriel that got reps, right? We saw some Kenny Pickett today. We saw some more Dylan Gabriel as well in the team setting. And then, as I mentioned, you know, in the final session there of the practice, we got to see Shedeur for 5 or 6 snaps. So, you know, they are bringing him along slowly. It does feel like it is really, truly a three-man race. But, look, I mean, when we get to training camp, a lot can change, right? You know, Bill Musgrave, Tommy Rees, and Kevin Stefanski will probably get together here between now and training camp and really comb through this mini camp film and you know, make some evaluations. And, hey, you know, who's to say that they don't decide that, you know, Shedeur should get more of a look during training camp. So, nothing is set in stone right now, but just based on the reps making an unfair conclusion, I would have to agree with you. It does feel like it's more of a three-man race than a four-man race.
Daryl, how's Dylan Gabriel looked? And do you think he has a legit chance to perhaps be the starter?
He's been up and down, which is what you expect for a rookie. I still have concerns about the height thing and the ability to see through the traffic of the trenches there. But, you know, yesterday he had a really good session. You know, today he was up and down. Like, that's not the route that I would go. I'll be honest with you, Jeff. I would not start him week one. Right now on my own personal quarterback rankings, I have him fourth. I have Shedeur ahead of him, even though Dylan has gotten more opportunities than Shedeur has. I just think that even with the limited opportunities, I just really like what Shedeur has shown.
So your rankings are, just everyone who's following along at home?
Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel.
And do you believe that one of the two veterans, or maybe even one of the rookies, will be traded? Do you, is that anywhere in your repertoire?
I think one of these quarterbacks absolutely gets traded. I don't know what the timetable on that would be. I don't know if they would wait until there's, you know, one of those unfortunate training camp injuries that always seems to pop up, right? I keep coming back to, like, with the Joe Flacco situation. I get why they brought him in. I like the fact that they brought him in. But the whole thing with the quarterbacks this year is, let's see what these young kids have, right? Let's see if you have something there so that you go into next year's draft knowing, do you have to combine assets to go get a top quarterback in that class, right? So for me, it makes more sense that Kenny Pickett would start week one, see what he can give you. Then you turn to one or both of these rookies at some point during the season as well. But there was a part of me that's like, yeah, I don't want to see either one of these rookies on the field next season. So I realize I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth there, but I'm conflicted on what I think, feel, and believe the Browns should do at that position.
How'd the offensive line look to you?
It's hard to tell, Jeff, and I'm not ducking the question. It's just they're not in pads. You know what I mean? Like
they look healthy. Like, they look,
yeah,
look old. I mean, what do you think?
No, I mean, for being in shorts and t-shirts, they look fine. Okay. DeJuan Jones looks like he's in really good shape. I actually posted a picture of him on X today. He's a mountain of a man still. Like he's lost weight. He looks like he's in great shape, but he's just a big darn dude. And hopefully he can work out there at left tackle. His rookie year, I would argue he was one of the best left tackles in the National Football League. I thought he played that well before he got hurt. And then obviously he got hurt again last year, and that kind of really slumped. So hopefully he can stay healthy this year. I think that if healthy, the offensive line is going to be just fine. But just right now, it's really hard to tell because of, again, they're just not suited up right now. So I don't want to make any unfair judgments about those guys. And same goes for the defensive line because, you know, this is the time of year where they're really focusing on techniques and footwork and things like that. You really don't get a true tell on what these guys really look like. I mean, I asked Deuce Staley today about Quinshon Judkins and his cutting ability, and he's like, "Yeah, we're in pajamas right now. Like everything looks good. We're in pajamas right now." So
that's fine.
I'm with Coach Staley there, Jeff. They're in pajamas right now. They should look good.
Okay. Is there anything you can learn though from Pajama Ball?
Well, they have a lot of receivers, and then they kind of need a lot of receivers right now because of how Kevin Stefanski has been working these quarterbacks with running multiple drills on separate fields at the same time. So you need folks that can catch the football. I'll say this, the secondary looks really, really good. You know, Greg Newsom's very active out there. Denzel Ward is really active out there. So, they're also working on their dances. I know this is something folks are really concerned about.
Great.
They have been working on some fresh moves for the upcoming season when they either break up passes or quarterbacks throw the ball 20 yards over their intended target's head.
All right, this is a two-part question. How did Deontay Johnson – I understand he's just wearing a helmet. How did he look?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he looked okay. He was at the back of the line on Tuesday. I have to get my days right. It's Thursday now. He was at the back of the line on Tuesday. Yesterday, they moved him up. He was like third or fourth in line. Same thing today. Yeah, I mean, he looks like he can play. Let's just put it that way. My concerns, I think, with Deontay Johnson have very little to do with football and on the field. It's everything else that he has found himself having to deal with that, you know, concerns me. Now, he told us yesterday when we spoke with him, last year was just a bad year. It's behind him. He's, you know, focused on the here and now. And the Browns are really the only team that called him. So I think maybe the eyeballs were opened a little bit that, you know, this might be his last opportunity. So he's got to make the most of it. But on the field between the lines, yeah, I certainly liked what I saw from him during minicamp.
Darryl, what is the line at wide receiver? Do you, I mean, one through whatever?
It's like 1 through 30. That's how many guys they got.
All right, well, tell me about 3, 4, 5. That's what I want to know.
Well, the fact that Cedric Tillman and Michael Woods were out there today was good to see, and I thought both of those guys looked pretty good going through their drills and catching footballs. They ran a drill. Actually, I put the video out. They ran a really good drill. I liked it, where the assistant coach would throw the ball, and as they're reaching to catch the ball, another assistant's there with the pads on the hands, swiping and trying to force an incompletion there. I kind of called it catching with contact. And they looked really good going through that drill. Because it's easy when you're, like, catching footballs on air, right? Of course you're going to look good. But the reality is, in games, right, you're dealing with contact, either bodily contact or contact with the hands and the arms. And so I really got into watching that drill today. I thought it was a fascinating drill. And again, the receivers did a good job hanging on to the football.
Darryl Ryder's joining us fresh off of mandatory minicamp. The defensive line has to be good, Darryl. Well, what do you envision on the opposite side of Myles Garrett?
Yeah. You know, you got Oboe still here. You got
Alex Wright's coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. Alex Wright's coming back. He's got that length that they really like. And so I honestly think they're going to be, you know, just fine there. And we know how Jim Schwartz likes to rotate that front, as well. So, you know, I think with Mason Graham being added to that, defensive tackle mix, I just feel like that is going to give them some versatility and where they can try and take some of the attention off Miles. Cause like, that's the challenge, right? You want to take some attention off of Miles so that, you know, teams can't send 2 and 3 guys his direction with no fear of any repercussions with that. And in the limited time that we've seen Alex, like, I love what I see from him, and hopefully he can stay healthy and be a guy that can contribute.
All right, Darryl, in one sentence, what is the most important thing we learned at minicamp?
Nothing has been decided at quarterback.
Okay.
And we have no idea when that is going to get decided come training camp. You know, for all the overanalyzation we're doing about reps and completions and whatnot, I honestly believe that this was a lot more evaluation for the organization and taking a look at these guys and trying to figure out what their roadmap is going to be come late July when they reconvene for this training camp. Because it's going to be challenging. You've got 4 guys that, you know, they got to pick one, and they got to pick a backup, right? And then you got to decide, okay, who do we trade? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't want to cut any of these guys. If you're going to move off of somebody, I would prefer a trade so that you get something.
Fair enough.
For one of them.
He is Darryl Ryder. He is the man in the know when it comes to the Browns. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
You bet, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Enjoy your summer.
Good work all during camp.
Yes. Have a summer.
Thanks, guys.
Until we talk about the stadium next. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Darryl Ryder.
How willing are you to move any one of these quarterbacks? Because it feels... It's just interesting to me that in the past, I don't know, 24 hours or so, you heard Mike right there. And go ahead, fact check him on Google if you want to. Type in Detroit Lions trade rumors, and you'll find every piece about Shedeur Sanders. No less than 8 different websites have Shedeur Sanders trading with some fashion and some sort of idea with the Lions baked into it. When, by the way, they need help defensively. They need as many guys as they can get. They're worried about Shedeur Sanders right now, and they're trying to find a way to get him. On the other side of that, today, we had a report out there with Dillon Gabriel linked up to the Miami Dolphins. And Danny, I just find it interesting that in a crowded quarterback room, we're talking about the two rookies. I think a lot of Browns fans think in their mind, it'll be one of Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco that'll see the door by the time the season gets underway. But what if there's no offers for Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco? Well, right now, the only offers that seem to be coming in or would be coming in when this time comes is for these rookie quarterbacks.
Right, and I think a lot of that is because you look at rookies and you look at, this is why we are a sports society that is obsessed with draft picks, right? We are obsessed about the unknown because it could be something really good. Dillon Gabriel, while I am not personally a believer in him as a quarterback, he's not somebody I look at and say, that guy can lead my franchise to playoff wins. I don't see that in him.
Right. Me neither.
But you don't know. Kenny Pickett, I look at him and I see that guy can't lead me to those things. We know for the most part, and it's not to say that Kenny Pickett is a completely finished product.
Well, and for half the league, they have a coach that can't do it anyway.
Right. That's also
true. Half the league, you don't have a coach that you trust would even know what to do with a Kenny Pickett.
But you look at this and you say, okay, well, I know, I might not know exactly what that guy is quite yet, like exactly, but I know exactly what he's not, which is a franchise quarterback. So you're not going to trade for that. There might be somebody out there. Maybe it is, as we have suggested, the Miami Dolphins, who make a lot of sense, but just, you know, that can be a nameless, faceless team right now. But maybe there is a team out there that looks at Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, which I think it's very unlikely he would get traded. But you look at that and say, okay, well, they can talk themselves into him being a franchise quarterback. They can say, we can go win playoff games with that guy. Or that guy fits our system so well, we can get the most out of him. We can get more out of him than what we would have to give up to get him. Now, the other question that I would pose here, too, is when you are having this discussion, and I wonder how important it is for the Browns to, because Kenny Pickett was acquired via a trade. Dillon Gabriel was drafted in the third round.
Yeah.
I wonder how important it is to them in these conversations to recoup the value that they gave up for those guys, because spending a third round pick on a quarterback is not nothing.
Well, I mean, it would be a non-starter for me if the offer is less than what you took these guys as far as drafted. If the offer for Shedeur Sanders is a fifth round pick and only a fifth round pick, I drafted him in the fifth round. I was comfortable spending the fifth round pick there. You're going to have to do better.
See, I think you would probably, with, I mean, maybe not.
I didn't roll the dice, take the chance on him as far as a person and everything else to bring him in and then watch him, by the way, be a perfect citizen and go through everything he needed to go through to then be like, oh, yeah, you can get him for the same thing you could have got him in the draft in April.
Well, who do you think right now, knowing what we know, and this is a wild thing to say again on June 11th when neither of these guys have played a football game in the NFL.
Right.
Who do you think has more trade value? If you had to trade one of them,
Shedeur by a mile.
Shedeur Sanders, you would get much more, I think, for Shedeur Sanders.
Why do you think the Lions are linking it up? Because if Jared Goff, who's getting older, by the way, if Jared Goff goes down, you're on your backup quarterback, your season's dead on arrival if you're Hendon Hooker. At least Shedeur Sanders can come in there, potentially put on the cape, and you have a chance. Hendon Hooker, you have no chance. That's not a starting quarterback. You have no, your season's up in smoke if that's your only option. Also, they could be looking at a succession plan with Shedeur Sanders. He is a pocket quarterback. He has a lot of the same traits that Jared Goff has already. You put him into the same offense, and then all of a sudden you're talking about the replacement for Jared Goff. You see how the connecting of the dots are actually happening here.
Well, and a lot of this gets back to, you bring up Hendon Hooker. We know what Hendon Hooker is not. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
We don't know if Shedeur is. We don't know that he's not, but we don't know that he is. And I think that the appeal of what could be, I think a lot of us get wrapped up in it, right? Like, because Shedeur could be that franchise quarterback. I don't know. I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can't. So I do think that's why it's more likely one of these two rookies gets moved, because they're more valuable on the trade market than Kenny Pickett is. I don't think Joe Flacco is getting traded. And truthfully, I don't think Shedeur Sanders is getting traded. I think this discussion comes down to, can they get more relative to what they gave up to acquire this player for Kenny Pickett or Dillon Gabriel?
I just want to know if the Browns are closed for business on all this. I think a lot of people were playing with the idea it was either Flacco or Pickett. One of them got moved. It looks like Flacco or Pickett are going to be looked at like days old Chinese food put out on the curb. Like they're not appetizing to people at all. And so but there is an appetite out there for Gabriel and for Shedeur. And what's happened in the past couple weeks, they've only built up the idea that they can do this at the NFL level and they can be a competitive football player. So there's going to be people knocking. It's just, well, what do you think the Browns will actually entertain? Because if I'm the Browns, I'm saying, screw it. There's no price you can offer up for Shedeur Sanders right now that I would go ahead and move off of Shedeur Sanders. I'm invested in Shedeur. There's a real opportunity he blossoms into my franchise quarterback. Dillon Gabriel, we can talk turkey. There's an offer out there that I can fall in love with when it comes to Dylan Gabriel that says, okay, now he's the odd man out. But I think so many people looked at it like it was one of the veterans and they were the move. Early returns suggest people around the league are thinking, no, it's one of the rookies that are going to have the actual value, and people are going to start to come up with these trade ideas. 216-474 to below 92.
And I think another part, too, it's hard to have two quarterbacks on the exact same timeline. That is another part of this. It's one thing to have Joe Flacco, who's 90 years old, and Kenny Pickett, who's in his mid-20s, because those guys are on very different timelines. But having Shador and Dylan Gabriel, both as rookies, there's not room to have both of them long-term. At some point, whether it is the end of this summer, before the trade deadline, next offseason, those guys are not going to be on the Browns together for very long just because there's not room to have two guys in the same draft class at that specific position taking up each other's oxygen.
It'd be really unusual. And especially if you enter the following year still needing a quarterback, then it gets a little muddied up too.
And it's not even like this is a when Washington picked RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft.
Yeah, or even like the Seahawks, for instance, with the Russell Wilson and Matt Flynn thing. Yeah.
Like RG3 was a top pick. We're talking about a third round, and Kirk Cousins was, I believe, in the fourth round of that draft. But we're talking about a third rounder and a fifth rounder. Like, it's just such a different discussion that I don't think you have room for two mid-round rookie quarterbacks in the long term.
That was my burn today, by the way. You were all over me yesterday about my...
It's faded.
I was at...
Dude, your forehead was like roasted yesterday.
I was itching just a little bit.
I don't care about
yesterday.
Your arms. Your forehead was roasted.
My legs, my legs got a little...
As if you're not inflamed enough on most days.
Wow. Should I watch my diet? Maybe take some anti-inflammatories along the way?
Ibuprofen is your friend.
That was down at that Ohio State 7-on-7 high school stuff on Wednesday. Man, that was awesome. I know I
other
like,
than the sun.
Oh, no, it was great. It was so cool. I was just the way they ran things. That facility is amazing. And just, I'm just blown away how, like, Andy Geiger's vision in Columbus of, it used to laugh when they first built. I know this is a little side story here before we get back into the Browns talk here. Trust me, Jeff, I know where I'm going.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. When they built the venue down there in Columbus, first it was like the Shot and Scene Center. And then they put, I think Jesse Owens went in there next, the Jesse Owens track stadium. And then they put Jack Nicklaus Museum is in there. And then they started rebuilding the Woody Hayes facility. It's fantastic. The softball field, the baseball field, Bill Davis Stadium over there, the tennis center. It's just an Olympic village. It is absolutely mind-blowing. What they were able to do, they ripped out married student housing. Where are they living now, I wonder? But, you know, they were able to put more athletic facilities in there, too. And this vision of what Andy Geiger wanted, you know, in the 90s came to fruition under Gene Smith. So it was just kind of neat to be there. And I'm sure anybody that's, you know, been down at Ohio State and has been able to just even walk through what's over there off of Lane Avenue over at the Woody Hayes facility. It's fantastic. It really is. I can't say enough good things about it. Jeff, so one of the other big stories that happened yesterday on the station itself.
Yeah, Bubba.
Was somebody, you know, lit the powder keg and let it explode by saying, Shador Sanders or Dylan Gabriel, one of those two guys should start. You know who it was? Herm Edwards on the afternoon show.
At the end of the day, I think you got to start the rookie. I just do. You drafted two of them, but you drafted four. I mean, you drafted two rookie quarterbacks. You can't say, well, hey, man, I'm going to put you on the shelf. What are you putting them on? Unless you're going to trade one of them. To me, it's like, okay, we drafted two of them. Then somebody got to play. You were 3-14. So you got to make a decision. If you start a rookie quarterback, the fans are going to say, we're okay with that. We can live with that. Midway through the season, is he a better player? Is the team better because he's the quarterback? That's going to be the critical part. You drafted two rookie quarterbacks. Not one. You drafted two of them.
I think they drafted two, Jeff.
Seems like they did. Glad Herm has that one nailed.
That was Herm Edwards, you know, former head coach, college level, pro level, all over the place. What'd you think? What'd you think of what he said?
There was only one thing missing out of what Herm said. Can they play? I love the idea. I do. Andy, I've said all along, you know, I think Pickett's the front runner. Why? Because I just think I'm just interpreting what I've seen. I would think that the Browns would like to see if he could actually be the guy. And other than that, They would love to see Dylan Gabriel go out and just be fantastic. Or they would love to see Shedeur Sanders go out and just be fantastic. I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, that'd be great if that could be the case. And so I'm with Herm. I get that. But can they play? You know, it's not like you drafted somebody in, you know, the top 10.
I just think it's really easy for Herm to say that because he's not the head coach, right?
Yeah.
If you're looking at this from the outside, like, you drafted two rookies, your team stunk last year. Why not? Why wouldn't you, you know, let some young quarterback go out there, cut their teeth and try to get better and see if you've got the future there? I get it. Totally understand it. But like we keep saying, it's the NFL. You want to hang on to your job? You got to win or at least get better. And do you feel comfortable starting one of the two rookies if I said that to you today?
Well, today, no, but, you know, give it time. Maybe Dylan Gabriel becomes Russell Wilson 2.0. Russell Wilson was really good in Seattle. I mean, they signed Matt Flynn for big money in Seattle at the time as a free agent from Green Bay, thinking he'd be their starting quarterback. But Matt Flynn wasn't anybody's, you know, vision of Brett Favre, but they thought, okay, this guy will be okay for us. And then they drafted Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson beat him out. That could happen here. You traded for Kenny Pickett. Okay, well, you'd barely traded for him. Swapped late round picks and gave him DTR. I mean, how big of a deal is that? Not very, right?
True.
Not very big. So if one of the rookies is better than Kenny Pickett, send Kenny on his way.
I still feel like one of the veterans is going to get traded. I think that the Browns are sitting there with the opportunity to maybe gain another draft pick between one of the two quarterbacks. And it's going to happen because there's going to be a quarterback who's going to get hurt, whether it's a one or a two somewhere else across the league. And you're praying that it's not you, let's be honest, that one of the guys gets hurt here. And now all of a sudden you go from this abundance of quarterbacks to a shortage of quarterbacks. That's not what we want. That's not what we need. But someone else that could happen to. And now all of a sudden the value of a Kenny Pickett, the value of a Joe Flacco rises because no NFL team wants to be sitting there without a backup quarterback they feel like they can put out on the field that can help actually move the team down the field.
Can I throw one factoid out here just to be
correct?
No, not correct. Herm was the head coach of a team that drafted a quarterback.
Jets or Chiefs?
Jets.
Okay.
Chad Pennington, first round. He started Vinny Testaverde.
Hmm.
Just throwing that out there.
Do you think he learned his lesson, or do you think the front office was telling him what he needed to do?
I don't know, but Vinny led him to 10-6.
But they also, was that Vinny's first year there?
Vinny was 38.
Hmm. So why do you think he would have said that yesterday? Is this hindsight, or is this maybe something he wanted?
I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe that year he wanted to not start Vinny.
Maybe.
That he wanted to start Chad Pennington.
No, it was not Vinny's first year there.
So he was an incumbent quarterback.
Apparently, but they drafted a guy.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
First round. There. Yeah, drafted. They invested in Pennington. Not a third and a fifth.
Kure is right here. Hi, Kure.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Father's Day, man.
Happy Father's Day. Yeah, we didn't even talk about that yet, Jeff. Father's Day. Big plans? You tell me later. Go ahead, Kure.
So I'm trying to figure out my team's plan. Like, you know, I've been wrapping my head around this, and it's hard for me to understand what's going on with this team because with this quarterback situation. You have a veteran that you brought back. Then you got Kenny Pickett, and then you got Gabriel, and then you got Shedeur Sanders. So you got four quarterbacks. You told everybody you wasn't really rebuilding, but we know you were. So if you're trying to I'm just trying to figure how do we process this? Because Shedeur can never start over any one of them. Because if you pick Shedeur up in the fourth round or fifth round, and then you drafted Gabriel, but he outplays him better than Gabriel. He's better than Kenny Pickett. So that means you wasted draft picks and you wasted money. And if you're hoping to go get a quarterback next year, you can't really get the quarterback you want next year because then you – like, I'm not understanding where the Browns are trying to go with this. Like, and this is where I think it's so crazy. And I understand that you – Like, I'm not understanding. Like, can you guys make sense of their logic here? Like, Shador is not the guy who's supposed to start ever on this team, because he's the fourth guy on the depth chart, so he should not be jumping past three other quarters, especially a seasoned vet.
Cool, right here. Here's their thinking. If I had to break it down for you, Deshaun Watson didn't work, and he's injured. Correct. If he weren't injured again, maybe he'd just be the starter. But he got injured again. They had to find somebody to play quarterback this year. As long as you're finding somebody to play quarterback this year, you might as well take a couple of chances and try and get lucky and see if that guy can be your long-term answer. Shador, Dillon Gabriel, Kenny Pickett. And if that doesn't work, hey, you got two number ones next year in a better quarterback draft. That's the plan.
But now let's just keep this real simple for some fans who really don't follow football. If you were playing John Madden 25 or fantasy football, and you decided, I'm just going to grab every quarterback on the board, hoping to find someone, somebody should be fired. Like, that doesn't make sense. You're wasting draft picks. You're wasting capital. You're wasting guys' careers on something that doesn't make no sense. Like, either you roll with your veterans and go for your quarterback next year, which we all would understood if you go, hey, Kenny Pickett's going to be the guy moving forward because we know, you know, Watson's injured, and we could all still be behind that. Well, we know Kenny Pickett's not going to get us over the hump. We understand that this is a rebuilding year. But you drafted two quarterbacks, and if this young man who you drafted in the fifth round jumps up and outplays everybody, now your plan is out the window. You look.
Your plan is hit, Cool, right? Because then you found your guy.
But you wasted, Dan. You wasted a third round quarterback. You wasted a player that you could have used.
Two words. But Cool, right? Anthony Schwartz. This team wastes third round draft picks. It's not a big deal.
But we knew that one of those picks was going to have to be wasted as a quarterback, right? You knew that one of those picks is probably wasted. True?
Not when you go after
draft night. You knew it. You can't start both guys. You know wasted a draft pick automatically.
But when you brought back your veteran, then you went after Kenny Pickett, you're literally solidifying, like, we know we're not going to have a great quarterback room, so let's build talent around there. But when you went and got two other young quarterbacks, you essentially said, we're not going after a quarterback next year. If you go after a quarterback
that's not true. Because you didn't draft it's not like when Washington drafted RG3, you know, at the top of the draft, and then followed up with Kirk Cousins. When you draft a quarterback, and earlier in the show, somebody said it, I forget who it was, but we heard, if you know, good luck finding a quarterback out of, you know, later in the first round. Yeah, no kidding. So what's that mean for the third and the fifth? It means keep your fingers crossed and maybe you get really lucky and you find somebody who can play.
Here's an interesting stat that, you know, and I say you wasted. Did you waste a pick? I don't know. Do you need two quarterbacks? Does every NFL team need two quarterbacks that you can trust on the field? May not be this year. It might be next year down the road. Go back to last season. There were only 14 NFL quarterbacks, which is a high number. 14 NFL quarterbacks started all 17 games in the 24th season. That was up 9. There were only 5 quarterbacks the year before that in 2023 that started all 17 games. Think about that. Let's get a little bit more perspective on what's going on with the Browns and a breakdown of what was really important at minicamp. Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com, former local coach right around here in Northeast Ohio. He breaks it down like nobody else in town. He's next. Baskin Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Quarterbacks that will start a game this year is not on the roster right now. I think that we will find ourselves in that situation where there. I don't think...
Hendon Hooker type.
Yes. I don't think all 4 quarterbacks that are on the roster right now will be on the initial 53-man roster for the Browns.
I disagree with that. I'm just thinking about, what do we do with Nick if we end up getting Hendon Hooker? Mac, what do we do with Nick if we end up getting Hendon Hooker? Every joke he has goes to some sort of sexual innuendo. What do we do if all of a sudden he says Hendon Hooker, and I'm like, Hooker, I hardly know her. Like, what are we going to do in that instance?
Hook him?
He's on a roll today. All right, Mac's on a roll today. Sometimes he has it. We've joked with Mac, and this is a bully-free Mac week, but we've joked with Mac that he's only good for one a day. He already hit his one-a-day limit. He's now got two. It's kind of like when you're on the golf course, Danny, and you're like, wait, I've gotten like four birdies. That's two more than I'm supposed to get in this round ever. Yep. What's going on here? And so all of a sudden, we're just going to just leap into this and maybe you collect five or six somehow.
I didn't realize this was a bully-free Mac week.
It is. It's what we've dubbed.
That's why he's smiling so much.
I know. It brings me happiness to see him so happy. But yes, it's a bully-free Mac week. And so if you think about going down that road, and I was guilty of it yesterday. I almost snapped on him at one point. I was guilty of it.
Over
and
what?
Then I reminded myself it is a bully-free Mac. He told me to play a piece of audio that was just absolute trash. I mean, just I blindly believed in the audio. No, you see, I'm not going to do that. You almost baited me into in a bully free Mac week bullying Mac. We're not going to do that. So you think there's so that would make not four quarterbacks. You're going to make it five quarterbacks then.
No,
or we're going to go through the four.
So
we're getting rid of one of them and then we're adding one to the mix that we don't even know.
One of these guys. I think three of the guys on the roster right now.
Okay,
and I don't know.
Walk me through this.
I think three of the guys that are currently on the roster, so Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, three of those four will start a game for the Browns this season.
Okay, because Frank's thought was that all four are making the roster, which I don't know. I haven't met many people that believe all four are making the roster.
And I'm with you on that. I don't think all four of them will be on the 53-man roster. I think three of them will be, and mm-hmm. I think those three guys will all start at some point a game for the Cleveland Browns. I also think, knowing the history of this franchise, knowing how this franchise handles quarterbacks, knowing how bad it will get at some point this year, because it will get bad, there will be a quarterback. I don't know if he's on someone else's roster right now. I don't know if he's doing anything else right now, but there will be a quarterback, and I don't know who this is, but there will be a quarterback that is currently not at mandatory minicamp for the Browns that starts a game this year.
Only reason
so there
why,
will be four.
Okay, so the only,
we
the
don't
only,
know who one of them is.
The only way I don't get on board with this, my line of thinking is, and I buy into exactly what Frank was talking about with this brutal schedule. He says that he hasn't seen as brutal of a schedule in 20 years of covering football. That's a little hyperbolic, but I'll play with it because I don't know how you get much worse than the guys that the Browns are taking on in the first 6 weeks of the season. You will not have a quarterback advantage in any one of those games. It is going to be tough. You almost get a reprieve that you start off week one against the Bengals. It's like, oh, a nice entry point into facing Joe Burrow. And it's like, well, why is that nice? Well, because the defense is Swiss cheese. The defense has a lot of holes in it. It's not very good, so you have that opportunity. The reason why I don't think that's going to happen, though, barring injuries, obviously, I think it goes Flacco, and then I think Flacco takes the punishment for the first 6 weeks. I think you go into Shador Sanders either week 7 or 8 or after the bye week, and then Shador just takes the reins and goes from there. I'm open to the idea that if Shador gets injured, obviously things change, though. And if Shador gets injured, that's where Dylan Gabriel comes in play, and then this would just be a cavalcade of unfortunate injuries that would have to happen in order for the Browns to play out the vision that you see.
Yes, and I think something will go
wrong.
And
we've seen it happen with a lot of injuries. It's not out of the realm of possibility that everyone could just turn into just a broken toy.
If this was a different franchise, if we were doing this show in a different city, probably wouldn't have this take. But I've seen enough of the Cleveland Browns in my 31 years mm-hmm. and however many years they've been back. I have seen enough of this organization to know that if something can go wrong, it will. Something will go wrong with the quarterback position at some point this year, and they will be starting somebody for whether it's the week 18 game that they have to play when nobody's going to want to be there and I'm not going to want to watch it, or maybe it's going to be sometime before that. They will start a quarterback that's not currently on the roster because something's going to go wrong, and it always does.
And if it does go down that way, then we are playing with what Frank said, where your starting quarterback for next year is currently going to be playing on Saturdays all throughout the fall.
I mean, unless Shador Sanders takes off and turns into the guy, and again, I say this and I don't say Dylan Gabriel because I just don't see it with him mm-hmm. as the guy.
Yeah.
Unless Shador does that and does something to grab this quarterback position, goes out and gets it, I'm with Frank. I don't see how the Browns, and maybe it's not the guy that starts week one next year, but I don't see how the quarterback of the future isn't playing on Saturdays this fall.
Well, so the nice thing about it is they set themselves in a beautiful way where they set themselves up with Shador, where you have that opportunity for him to take the reins, win the job, and never give it back. And you also have a fail-safe option as well, and that is what you're describing, where all the quarterbacks, it just turns into fully dysfunctional disco. It's a train wreck. It's awful. It doesn't work. And then you're just taking a quarterback in the draft, and you're just not sweating it.
Well, and I think the Browns recognized that back in April when they traded their number two pick away to Jacksonville to get a number one pick next year, because what the Browns will be able to do is, and if you know, we believe this team's not going to be bad, they're not going to have to move up very much, if at all, but they give themselves the ability, whether they have the third, fourth, fifth pick, to say, this guy, maybe it's Arch Manning, maybe it's somebody else, we have no idea at this point, but this guy's going to go number one. He's a franchise quarterback. We want him. Here is the fifth pick, that's ours, and the eighth pick, that's Jacksonville. And maybe you toss in something else, too.
All right, for more on this, also the latest with Nick Chubb now becoming a Texan, Albert Breer will join us next on Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.